back into his own zone there. But no, look, he's just trying to find a seam and know that, hey, I'm going to try to force it to him if he's open.
Here is Ovechkin. Shoots!
That was Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk, NHL on TNT. The national call there is Alex Ovechkin scored goal number 895 to pass officially the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and to become the all-time goal-scoring king in National Hockey League history. How does that compare to the Hail Mary to Noah Brown? To the Zach Ertz playoff clinching overtime, third and goal from the two. Tight window, zip. How does that compare to some of the other great moments that we haven't even played yet, but we've talked about? Terry McLaurin, Monday Night Football, Jaden Daniels, week three. You're going to hear some more. How does that compare? Bigger pop, bigger explosion, bigger firework, bigger, you know, an M80 of sorts with, I guess, being a little bit more celebratory than an M80 typically is. M80s are kind of reserved for the shock and awe, as opposed to the beauty, if you will. So we're looking for your top fireworks plays or moments in DC sports in the last year. Also, we opened up the show with a sort of mea culpa, a sort of apology, and an explanation. I should have just stayed out of it. I should have known better. And instead, I tried a little sarcasm, and it went over like a lead balloon with some of you. So I apologize. I should be more Casper Milquetoast. I should sit more on the fence with a spoke up my... I should be more neutral. I should be more vanilla, plain, boring. That's just not me. It's just not me. But I apologize for it because a lot of you, I don't get it. I don't care. But a lot of you care about uniform colors so much. And I feel like it's been ratcheted up because the owner came out and said, we are not changing the name. So now that's your last bastion of hope. And again, they could walk out. Like, I always found it hilarious that they would call it gold pants when they were yellow mustard pants. Whatever. I understand that was a style of gold. Okay. But I can't say that I've never had a reaction to a uniform combination or a uniform look. I can't say that. I'm human. I just don't care about it. It doesn't do anything to make me watch or not watch or to make me root or not root. I root for whatever I want and whatever I like. And if Jaden Daniels and the Commanders came out with just their jock straps on and shirtless on top of that, wearing whatever helmet and whatever logos would matter none to me. I'm not watching because of what they're wearing. I'm not enjoying anything anymore because of what they're wearing or not wearing. It just means nothing to me. The stadium means a lot for various reasons. Winning, losing, winning with class and dignity and not a bunch of criminals or a bunch of bad dudes, that means a lot to me. Winning with a different shade of burgundy and cranberry and whatever else you guys have complained about over the last 3 years means nothing to me. To me. So that's what we've been talking about. Let's go back to the phones. Let's try this one over here. Cowboy Don is in Clinton on line four. Let's get to Cowboy Don, see what he can cook up. Don, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Cowboy Don?
How's it going?
It's going all right. Sometimes I think I'd be treated better by Cowboy Nation than the Washington fan base, but that's what happens when you try and tell the truth.
Hey, Chris, what it is Alex's goal meant more, but Jaden Daniels, that Hail Mary, it was exciting.
Yeah. Both were exciting, though.
Well, they were exciting, but that game was awesome. And that kid is really good. I just hate the fact that he plays for your team.
Yeah.
Remember Dak Prescott's rookie season?
Mm-hmm.
So don't you guys get so high on this kid. Well, that's his first.
Well, wait a second. Am I not remembering? Did he win the job out of camp because Romo was injured, or am I forgetting that in his rookie year?
No, he did. But what I'm saying is his first full season, he was awesome.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Cowboys were like maybe 13-4 that year.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, but now what are we saying about that?
Well, I mean, listen, it's not like his career completely fell apart, but there's legitimate criticism, A, that he can't stay healthy, that's one, B, that he can't win in the playoffs, right? And some of that is legitimate, but I don't think anybody's ever questioned him as a regular season quarterback, have they? By the way, in his rookie year, I mean, to your point, 23 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. 3,667 passing yards, still at a time where the league, I mean, it was certainly growing exponentially in terms of passing. So, I mean, 3,667 is not like, oh my gosh, 5,000. Kirk Cousins did have almost 5,000 passing yards in that same year. But Dak was extremely effective for a rookie quarterback. There is no doubt about that.
And he had a good running back in the backfield.
Yeah, well, that's it.
But I'm looking forward to this season, man. We got some games that, you know, we got some Christmas games.
Yeah.
What I'm really interested in
is seeing how the Commanders deal with Micah Parsons, because they didn't deal with Micah Parsons very well in either of the two games.
Well, it's going to be competitive. I'm glad the NFC East is more competitive now.
I'm hearing.
You know, no matter what other people think, but I'm just happy that the NFC East is getting stronger.
I hear you. So you, and going back to the original thing, real quickly before you go, you say the Hail Mary more of a firework explosion, if you will, than Alex Ovechkin 895.
I think so.
Okay, that's fine. Cowboy.
Hey, listen, it pissed me off.
Cowboy Dad, I appreciate you, brother. Make sure you call back again. That was good. I like getting a little different flavor. Let's go to line one, Cam in Northeast, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Don't forget, we're also streaming live on the iHeartRadio app and TuneIn, so you can listen to us in a lot of new and different and exciting ways. What's up, Cam? How are you?
What's good, man? How are you doing?
What's shaking, Cam? Happy 4th of July, man.
Happy 4th weekend. Happy long weekend.
Sure.
I was just listening. I was just got in the car, and I heard you talking about the uniforms, and I got to give you my 2 cents. So maybe it's because I'm young and, you know, I'm born in the early 90s, never saw, like, this year is the first time I saw the team be good. But, man, I am 100% with you. I do not care what they're wearing. And here's my hot take.
Really?
I know a lot of callers.
Wait. I'll let you finish up in a sec. That shocked me because I thought you were going to go completely the opposite when you set me up there. Wow. Okay. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
And here's my hot take. This is going to make so many of y'all callers mad. I also don't really see, and maybe like I say it because I'm young, I don't see the nostalgia of the old Redskins uniforms. Like, it's just a, you know, a stripes with a white jersey. and burgundy jersey and stripes on a white and gold and burgundy pants. Like, I don't think it's that fire. Again, like, I'm young, so I like the kind of the new, you know, a lot going on uniforms, like the Falcons, the Cardinals before they redid their uniforms, I think, two seasons ago. Like, I kind of, like, I don't really care about the classic looks. Like, I don't want to be like the Packers and have the same boring uniforms for a century. Like, I think that's dumb. But I do agree that the Commander uniforms are stupid, not because they're new, but because there's, like, no synergy between them. Like, they all are, like, three very different teams. Like, I agree that's dumb. But I really don't think that we ever had the best uniforms in the league just because they're classic. And, you know, if the rumors are right that next week our alternate is just going to be some version of the Redskins uniforms, like, I'm not going to be disappointed, but, like, I don't see the hype. Like,
I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed because they still somehow think the Indian head logo is coming back on the uniform or on the helmet.
Very silly. But, like, even, regardless whether it's a W, Indian head, spear on the helmet, like, it's just a plain jersey with shoulder stripes or sleeve stripes and a plain pants with stripes on the pants. Like, that doesn't do it for me.
You know what would excite me? Here's what would actually get me to be happy. If they came out in true burgundy, right, which I know people have said, well, they're more cranberry and whatever, true burgundy and real gold pants. Like, think about the Florida State look, right, how they wear the garnet and gold, but they're true gold pants. Like, if they came out for a night game, for argument's sake, and they have plenty of night games, in true gold pants, I don't know what about that would get me excited, but that would get me a little bit lathered up. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man, but I'm telling you, this fans, they just want everything to be the 70s and 80s again. Yeah. Like, I can't stand it.
That's because, you know, before you were born, you said you were born in what, 91, 90?
Early 90s, 93, 93.
Okay, 93, so you didn't even see the last Super Bowl championship. So that puts you right around 32, right? Or thereabouts. So I get it. There's no emotional attachment for you. The one thing that I would counter, and I always have to remember too, is there is an emotional attachment for a lot of people that grew up with A, Redskins, and B, with whatever uniforms we're talking about, spear, Indian head, this, that, the other thing. And I do get that it is hard to let go, right? But society and time and more society and sports is a big part of society teaches us we've got to let go at some point. We've got to move on. We've got to embrace the new. We've got to look forward as opposed to constantly looking back. And if you're constantly looking back, I don't know, proverbially, I keep thinking you're going to get set up for that big counterpunch or that big punch as soon as you turn back around. And maybe that's, again, proverbially, but you see what I'm saying? Stop looking so much at the past. Start looking at the future. Start thinking about the road ahead. Start thinking about what you can do to be better next.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm sure y'all talked about this already, but that poll from a couple weeks ago, would you rather have the old name in Snyder or the new name in Harris? And the fact that it wasn't 100-0 is so disappointing.
I mean, it's not. It's disappointing, but it's expected, to be honest with you. I don't. Like, Dan Snyder, as I always say, I worked for the man for 6 years. He treated me fine, but he treated a lot of people that I like and respect very poor. And he treated this organization and the fan base terribly. And for that reason and that reason alone, I would never say anything good other than, I guess, individually, he treated me fine. But to me, the notion that people would rather have Redskins or not Commanders and Dan Snyder back or anything from the past is just mind-boggling. It's just out of control. Just, I can't even process how mind-boggling and how crazy that is when you consider what you have now. And I know it's not perfect. I know it's not perfect. Josh Harris doesn't do everything perfect, but he does a lot of things really well. A lot of things, and the organization is way better off for it. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate you. Happy 4th of July, man. Let's run on that. Let's get one more in here, and then we'll take a timeout, and we'll hear more on the other side. Little is in D.C. What up, Little? How are you?
What's going on, Roos?
What's shaking, Little?
Shout out to your man, A-Mac. Let me say something, Roos. Shout out to Lap. Lap tell you the truth. I love it how you speak your mind. for my last three games of the season, the last three games of the season, man, I'm going to tell you now, cha-ching, I hit them all. I had to, because, you know, they wasn't favored, but I had the over on the Eagles. And my wife brought it to my attention, Rooster. You had two players on the Eagles have birthday on the Super Bowl game, and both of their numbers equal to 59. And then I hear the NFL talk about it after the game. My wife picked it, you know, she picked it off. That's why I didn't go. I had a little faith about them going up there in Philly, but I knew they was going to hit the over from the last game they played. Oh, man, and look, let me say something with you. I know you got your buddy with you, hey, Matt. And I consider you homegrown now.
He is.
I know you come to work the other day. You might have had on a nice little outfit and a shirt, a nice little haircut. And whatever.
Yeah.
You say, hey, Matt, and you was looking hot. You
got to get
rid of that word because let me explain. Let me tell you what you tell another soldier or your co-worker. Rooster, you spitting today. Rooster, you flossing today. Rooster, you getting it in today. And guess what word I always use?
All right.
Champ.
Okay. Hey, we had a question. Who were the two players you were talking about on the Eagles that totaled 59?
The running back and the safety. No, the safety was 33, and the running back, number 26.
Oh, Saquon Barkley. Okay.
Yeah, that's
the deal. Oh, and the rookie, Cooper DeJean, meaning that they both scored touchdowns?
And guess what the number's equal to?
59. It was Super Bowl 59.
You watch every little thing I did, man, to come to be putting them bets in. And here, this is what I like to see them do. I like to see them go with the canary helmet, with the burgundy face mask, and the burgundy W. You can have that all year long, man.
All right.
I mean, it ain't about the uniforms and coloration or whatever. Don't win a damn thing. I don't give a rat ass about it. Don't win no Super Bowl. But that's the question now I want to ask a lot of these fans out of town. I kind of look at these fans. Now, I'm not against that. If you DMV, you're born with a team. But when you're outside, you know, no, I ain't calling no early, but they know they always call your show. You got to understand that you can't really call shots about what's going on in this area, because you wasn't born with a team. But I respect that, respect the knowledge, and I understand it, what's going on, how they feel about situations. But moving forward, I'd rather have a Super Bowl with Rooster than a name change. What do you think about that, big stuff?
Hey, absolutely.
Shout out to A-Mac. Hey, look, shout out to Lap. He's telling you the truth, Rooster. Love that you bring your attention. I like when you talk about them Buffalo Bills losing the four Super Bowls. I like when you talk about that more, too.
And you like when Doc gets at
you. He probably said he loved you the other day. God bless you. Stay up, big fella.
Sometimes. I appreciate you. Thank you, Little. Have a good weekend, brother. Plenty of burgers on Little next time around. All right. We have some breaking news, which we will get to in just a couple of moments. And it has something to do with a highlight that you're about to hear in just a couple of minutes. Tell you next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We're always live and free there. And also, again, streaming live now on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
1-0 pitch to Wood. Swinging a high fly ball, center field, deep. Back goes Hilliard to the warning track at the wall. It's gone! James Wood does it! The long nightmare is over!
An 11-game losing streak about a week and a half ago snapped with one swing of the bat from James Wood of the Washington Nationals. And here is the breaking news. James Wood is going to be in the Major League Baseball All-Star Home Run Derby. That's right. 22-year-old heading to play in the T-Mobile Home Run Derby in Atlanta. A lot of people say he was screwed out of a starting spot in the All-Star game for the National League. We'll get to there in a sec. He ranks 7th among all players, 5th in the NL, 1st among NL outfielders with 22 home runs. He's going to join Cal Raleigh, who's had an amazing year for the Seattle Mariners, FSU product catcher, and Ronald Acuña Jr. Of course, for the hometown Braves at Truist Park on July 14th, Monday, coming up. Not this Monday, but the Monday after that. Now, listen, some people By the way, that was Dave Jagler on the call. Nats Radio 106.7. And occasionally here on the Team 980, like tomorrow at 11:05 against the Boston Red Sox. Dave Martinez said, look, I'd love for him to do it. I want him to win. Some people get a little nervous that the home run derby, because of the layout, the structure, the goal of it, the emphasis of it, it screws up your swing. And there's been evidence of that, guys that have struggled in the second half. But then there's been guys that have been fine. I'll trust that James Wood at 22 years old is not going to completely hit the bricks by entering the home run derby. I don't know if he wins it. No idea.
I mean, he's Tiger Woods' son. Like, I think that...
What?
He's Tiger Woods' son. Have you not heard this bit before?
No.
I have a bit with Toby.
Before you explain whatever silly bit this is, let me just clear up something. Mm-hmm. Mr. Baseball, Mr. Seamhead.
Yes.
You know his name is James Wood, not James Woods.
Yes. That this is part of the joke.
Oh, okay.
So Toby comes up to me, he says, "You know James Wood is a Giants fan." And I'm like, "Seems like a nice guy. I don't know who this is."
Mm-hmm.
His face devastated. I'm like, who am I supposed to know? Who, this was early on. This is like months ago, before the baseball season even started.
Oh, because
started.
You didn't know who James Wood was.
Yes. So I lean into that because he was so devastated. And I was like, is that Tiger Woods' son?
Oh.
And he flipped out. So now every time I talk to Toby about James Wood, I'm like, Tiger's son is dominating.
I got you. I got you. Interesting. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. A, I knew it wasn't his son. B, they have different last names. But now I see. Now I see.
Do that,
Mr. Baseball, everybody.
Do they really have different last names?
Well, one is Wood and one is Woods.
It's the plural version of one thing.
It's two different last names.
No.
No, stop that.
It's the same.
You're not going to do the same thing you did to young, impressionable Toby, to the wily veteran over here. Woods is not the plural version of wood.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Multiple woods. That's what
all right,
it is.
Somebody help me out here, please. Set AMAC straight, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is woods the plural version of wood? Or is it two separate and different last names, as I contend? Wood and Woods. Two separate names, or is Woods the plural version of Wood? And is James Wood Tiger Woods' son?
Kinda, but not really, you know? No, Wood is Tiger Woods' son. They're kind of different, but not really.
Okay. By the way, James Wood, just a couple of analytical numbers on him. 99th percentile in hard hit rate, 97th percentile in average exit velocity, and 97th percentile in barrel rate. He's hit 12 home runs harder than 110 miles per hour, trailing only Shohei Ohtani. And his hardest one was 116.3 and 431 feet, which tied the hardest hit home run tracked by StatCast for the Nationals franchise. And he tied Tiger Woods. Not Tiger Woods. That's his dad. He tied Bryce Harper. See, now you got me. Now you got me going! James Wood in the home run derby. Should James Wood have been a starting all-star? We'll discuss next. And the Nationals with a big win in the nightcap of the doubleheader. We'll tackle that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, speaking of the Nationals and James Wood, who again is joining the Home Run Derby, they'll be in action tonight, closing out a three-game series against the Detroit Tigers at 6:45, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And the Nats Radio Network with Charlie and Dave underway at 6:15. Now, whatever happens tonight, and the Nationals will try and go for the series win, They will have a quick turnaround to tomorrow morning, 11:05, first pitch scheduled, annual July 4th game, but against a new opponent, the Boston Red Sox, who will be in town. And you can hear that game right here on the Team 980, again, tomorrow morning with coverage underway just after 10:30. Cleveland Guardians pitcher Luis Ortiz, who was supposed to pitch tonight, has now been suspended because of a gambling investigation, or he's under investigation because after a betting integrity firm flagged a pair of pitches that received unusual gambling activity, according to sports book operators regarding Ortiz. So Major League Baseball has put him on non-disciplinary paid leave through July 17th. More on that story coming up. And in Wimbledon action, Novak Djokovic advancing to the third round at the All England Club for a record 19th time, beating Dan Evans 6-3, 6-2, 6-love on center court in the All England Club earlier today. It was his 99th match win at Wimbledon all time. And that's what's trending. Ah, Terry McLaurin going all the way. In Detroit. Yeah, man, that's when you knew it was for real. 6:23 mark of the second quarter. 58 yards on a little screen to the left. Some good blocking at the point of attack by Olamide Zaccheaus and De'Ami Brown. If I remember correctly, both not on the roster anymore. But Terry is, although Terry's in a contract dispute. 58 yards, and that made it 17-14 Washington after the Zane Gonzalez extra point. That was a firework. That was an explosion. That's when you knew, oh, they're here to play. And the Commanders obviously would go on even more impressively from there, right? Quan Martin had the 40-yard interception return for a pick six off of an airmail pass by Jared Goff to take the 24-14 lead with about 5 minutes left to go before halftime. Detroit would come right back on a big explosive run by Jameson Williams, 61, but then Washington would answer right back. This was after Cosme got hurt on the play before. Zach Ertz catches a 5-yard touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels to go up 31-21 at the half in Detroit, and it would finish 45-31 as the Commanders were on their way to the NFC Championship game. I have a hard time, again, when we're talking about fireworks, right, and explosions and explosive plays, I have a hard time picking the Hail Mary. I realize why it's so significant. I got it. It's the last play of the game. They lose otherwise. I get it. It's an important play. But if you're asking me to stack moments of importance in terms of explosions, in terms of fireworks, it's like third or fourth on my list. And one of the plays you just heard, and you haven't even heard all of them yet. Because I value winning, and then, of course, if all plays are winning plays, or critically important, then you have to start separating, right? And while by no means is the Hail Mary and Noah Brown and all, of course it's important. They get to 6-2 as opposed to 5-3. Of course it's important. You never know what the season looks like after that if they don't win that game, especially with the struggles that they had a couple of weeks after that, in November. But I can't choose that play, the Hail Mary, over what Terry did on the 58-yarder. I can't choose, even to me, even though it wasn't the final play, I think the pass to Terry from Jaden week three, 2.5 minutes or so left to go in Cincinnati against a desperate Bengals team, on the road, Monday Night Football, the coming out party, the short week ahead, out to Arizona. They whooped up on Arizona. That's when you knew it was for real. To me, even though that didn't happen on the final play of the game, that is a bigger explosion, a bigger firework, if you will, on this eve of 4th of July than the Hail Mary, even though that's the one play that will forever be symbolic of the renaissance of the Commanders and of Jaden Daniels' rookie season and perhaps his career. Perhaps his career. Who knows? All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Then you have Alex Ovechkin. You have James Wood. I wanted to get to this real quickly, and then we'll get back to some calls. I see my guy, Double A, up there. The All-Star starters were announced yesterday by Major League Baseball. And listen, I don't want to... I don't want to constantly poo-poo on fans. I really don't. But the fan vote is the least important thing to me in any process because I'm not quite sure how much hard work goes into it, how much studying, how much true analysis and justification goes into it, as opposed to, hey, vote this guy, vote that guy that flashes on the video board at every Major League Baseball stadium, whether they're right or wrong, whether they're justified or not. And it always was a popularity contest, but it seems more and more like it is a popularity contest. Now, in some cases, it's not. Some cases, it's legit, right? Some cases, it's legit. But guys like Cal Raleigh have normally been screwed in the past, but Cal Raleigh actually, justly, deservingly so, got named and voted in by the fans. Good job. Along with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Gleyber Torres. Now, again, you would imagine, right, the Tigers. And the Tigers fans are very passionate. They're the best team in the American League. How about Jacob Wilson, right? Jacob Wilson, a rookie. A .339 batting average. Son of Jack Wilson, if you remember him. Right? He's been great. The A's have no fans. They play in a minor league baseball stadium. And Jacob Wilson got elected by the fans. And he deserved it. Over Bobby Witt Jr., who also deserves it. But that one stunned me. Stunned me. And then you go down the line, right? The Orioles, who have largely stunk, get a starter in D.H. Ryan O'Hearn. No real issue with that. Of course, Aaron Judge. Duh. Riley Green of the Tigers, Javi Baez of the Tigers, who are also in town, or are in town, I should say, for one more. In the National League, Will Smith, no surprise there, for the LA Dodgers, been an all-star a couple of years before. Freddie Freeman over Pete Alonso, I mean, you can battle it out there, but Freddie Freeman's been very deserving. 308, 10 home runs, 43 RBIs. Ketel Marte, who had that incident last week with the fan in Chicago, fine. Frankie Lindor of the Mets. Manny Machado at third base of the Padres, again, fine. Of course, Shohei Ohtani as the DH. Pete Crow Armstrong, unbelievable. Kyle Tucker has been great. But the one thing that I think you can pick on and say, well, I was surprised that Wilson from the American League got it as a rookie with the A's having such a small fan base. I was not surprised, but I was disappointed. Not that it's his fault, but that Ronald Acuña, who didn't even make his debut until late May and has only played 35 games. Granted, he's awesome. He's hitting 350. He's got 9 home runs. He would have much, much, much better numbers if he had played the entire year. But the reason why Ronald Acuña Jr. got the vote is because the game's in Atlanta. So I'm sure Atlanta Braves fans were implored significantly to get Acuña to the All-Star game. And he's their most popular player. And he's crushed his knee twice. And they won the World Series the first time. And he did it again last year. And he's such a special player. I get it. I can't be mad. I can't be mad. To me, Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker deserve it very much so. To me, if you're going to make an argument for James Wood, it's got to be Acuña, but I don't know how you argue that Acuña is, like, you can't just measure up statistics. So for that reason, even though I was a little bit like, should have seen this one coming with Acuña at Truist Park, Atlanta, what he's been through, what he's been since coming back, hit a home run in his first at-bat. I'm not surprised. I'm not mad. But that's the only one that I could make in my opinion, a true bona fide legitimate argument for. I mean, again, just because you don't know Kyle Tucker doesn't mean Kyle Tucker's not good. He's hitting 290, slashing 290, 393, and 533, 17 home runs, 20 stolen bases. And he's a center fielder. Whatever this means, the F war is tied with Pete Crow Armstrong amongst NL outfielders for the lead in F war. Now they're behind Judge, but everybody's behind Judge. I would have been really disappointed if Juan Soto was a starting outfielder. That I would have been really disappointed by. I can't go crazy and say James Wood was robbed, James Wood was hosed. I can't do that. Maybe you can. I can't. Because I understand the Acuña deal, and I have a healthy, healthy, healthy respect for what Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong have done for the Cubs. That's my thoughts. I'm sure you guys disagree. I'm sure you will find a way to make it seem like, I'm anti-James Wood. I'm not. And he's not Tiger Woods' son. That was a joke. That was AMAC's joke, not mine.
Great joke. Wait, is he not Tiger Woods' son? Rooster, look at me. Really? That's not his son?
We're on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. And now we're available wherever you get your podcasts, including on iHeartRadio and TuneIn.
It's second and goal. End zone shot for the lead. It's McLaurin. He's got it. Washington is in front.
All right, Fox Sports on the call. I think that was Adam Amin, but I'm not 100% sure. Terry McLaurin, back shoulder fade, Marcus Mariota, go ahead and ultimately game-winning touchdown to get the 12th win of the regular season. In Dallas against the Cowboys, who were feisty and competitive, but still playing out the string. Come from behind win for the Commanders. As we talk about most explosive plays, I can't put that one over, the Zach Ertz one the week before that, the Terry McLaurin one week 3 Monday Night Football, even the Hail Mary, even though that won the game. That game, because the playoff spot was already clinched, just meant a 12th win. Nice, but not as significant as the week before with Ertz and other ones, in my opinion. Let's go to our guy, Double A, Athens and Annapolis here before the top of the hour. What's up, Double A? How are you?
I'm good, guys, and I just want to start out by saying, you know, Chris, I talked to your son this morning,
yes.
and Tyler is a huge AMAC fan. I mean, AMAC is his buddy.
He loves AMAC.
I might be getting replaced. Seriously, he was talking about AMAC on the phone with me. So
yeah, I don't know if you're getting replaced, but here's the deal: he sees AMAC quite a bit. Now, this is his last time at the radio station, so he's going to forget about AMAC like tomorrow.
I hope not.
I mean, he is going to completely forget about him, whereas Athan, you, I think, have a special place in my kid's heart because you talk about Brohawks, farting, pooping, and Linnell.
Yes, and bicep curls for the pretty girls.
Yes.
I told him he could do that with AMAC because my two discs in my back are blown, so I have to really watch how I lift weights now.
Well, that's what AMAC does for a third part-time job. He goes home and he flexes his muscles and he works out and he looks at himself in the mirror.
You and I were young and cool once. I'm sure you used to flex in the mirror.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know.
Hey, so listen, it's Ovechkin all the way, okay? I mean, like the Hail Mary where I was on the escalator coming down and missed it and everything, mm-hmm. and the Zach Ertz play, those are great seasonal plays for Washington, but the Ovechkin play is an all-time NHL moment that broke a record that may never be broken. So it's the Ovi one all the way, in my opinion.
And I've held off on, you know, if you're looking at comparing both sports, I mean, obviously two different sports, one a regular season, like there was regular season moments, but because of the longevity, because of the history, because of the career, everything, and because of what that mark meant, no doubt about it. And I mean, again, Double A, you know, I don't get excited by much. To be there on Long Island, that was a pretty special day. It was a pretty special day.
Yeah, that was incredible. And I want to give a shout-out to our guy, Little. I'm going to start calling Little Two for the Money. He reminds me of Brandon Lang with all his gambling tips. So maybe we could have a segment where, since Little is retired and rich, he can give us some good picks for the season, and we can all be rolling in the money like him. So maybe call Little Two for the Money going forward. So shout out to him. I want to send some good vibes to Ben Standing, who's dealing with a tough issue right now.
Yep.
I know you talked about it the other day,
yep.
but I didn't get to call in. I have been in that situation before and been blindsided, and I just want to send out good stuff to him because everything happens for a reason. So I hope that something good very soon is coming his way. And the final thing I want to say is shout out to Dr. Sabah and John from Oklahoma, because I don't care what the new uniforms are unless they say Redskins on the front and have our logo. Burn the alternative uniforms. I don't care. Hey, it's either Redskins or nothing. We three are right, and everybody else is wrong. And just like I have people coming up to me in walking out of the grocery store the other day, nice Redskins shorts. I'll never buy anything that's Commanders. So
I love you,
nice Double
A.
Right.
I love you. I disagree with you, but I love you. You're the best. All right, 3 o'clock and change in the nation's capital. Final hour of power to come on this Thursday. Stay with us.